the twist. I didn't expect it. I was sitting there. I was like waiting. I was on the edge of my seat because I was like, I don't want to see this, but yeah. I want to see this. Like, right? I'm in. And yeah, then it didn't happen. It happened in such a better way. So I was also waiting for something to happen with the dog because of, like, you know, Chekhov's gun. Like, I'm sitting there. I'm like,
right.
He had a trained dog in the beginning, and the fucking director, he's crazy. I can't wait. Some Django shit. It was awesome.
Yeah, the little detail about him getting super stoned right beforehand.
Oh, God, I know.
That was great.
You're just like, you were on a horsey.
Welcome to the Everyone's a Critic Movie Review Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bob Zarrell. With me, as always, is the professional film critic, Sean Patrick, and Zach Covemaker.
You got it.
Hey, what do you know?
Yay!
Visit us at ihatecritics.net, I think. There was issues with it. Last week's episode was just not up. I kind of went backwards and, you know, reinstalled a week ago.
Damn Russians got under sight.
I have three updates to do, and I'm afraid to do them because the last time I did them, something weird happened to the episode. But I think it's still there. Everyone's a Critic podcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our handle is Critics Pod. There you can see the trailers, read Sean's reviews, see some of the movies Sean's watching. He posts stuff every now and then. And just overall interaction, subscribe to the show, rate and review the show, we'll read your reviews on the air, share the show with your friends, help us grow the podcast, and then Patreon, ihatecritics.net/Patreon is the best way to help support the podcast, and I know I mentioned our site being hacked. Patreon is not on our site, it's just a link to go to Patreon, so don't worry about that, as well as our merchandise site. If you go to ihatecritics.net, click on podcast merchandise, that sends you to T Public. So none of that is hosted on our site. So if there is something going on their site, you purchasing something will not affect you. It's just a link going elsewhere. I feel like there's usually more I do, but I can't remember. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Alexa, Spotify, I might have said that already. Let's just go to our trailers. 1917,
the latest movie from Sam Mendes, tells a story from World War I, in which two soldiers are given the task of trying to cross the most deadly front imaginable to get to a group of soldiers who are about to be ambushed. They have information that those soldiers are about to be ambushed, and they're trying to get there in time to save them, with the added wrinkle that one of the guys in that among those 1,500 soldiers is the brother of one of these two characters. So, lots of complications going on there, and you've got Colin Firth and Benedict Cumberbatch in there adding a little bit of star power to it, and interesting trailer. Sam Mendes hasn't done much in a while. You know, obviously, I know people think of the Bond movies as something. I don't.
I love Skyfall.
I don't. I don't like any of the Bond movies. So it's been a while since I've seen anything that impresses me with Sam Mendes, but he does have a lot in his past that's... I think I like one of his movies. I like Away We Go a lot. I like parts of Revolutionary Road.
I love American Beauty. I'm not going to back down.
I hate American Beauty.
I haven't seen it since everything went down, but man, I loved that movie in the past.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to watch it now. We know too much.
Yeah, and it just gets that much weirder, doesn't it? But yeah, I mean, this is an effective trailer, and I did like the style. I like the style of the trailer a lot. I like the way that scene of him running with the explosions in the background and them using the words kind of shrinking down behind him. I thought that was really an effective, stylish choice.
Yeah, it looked cool.
Yeah,
I'm down for it. We haven't seen at least I haven't seen a World War I movie in a long time, if ever, honestly, that I can remember. I've seen oodles and oodles of World War II movies, seen the same battles done 1,000 times, whatever. I'm in. I love Sam Mendes. At least I loved Skyfall and what I think I remember about American Beauty. I'm all on board.
Well, yeah, and if American Beauty doesn't hold up, it's not because of him. It's because of the other guy.
Yeah. It's not his fault.
But I'm kind of, I mean...
He shall not be named.
Right. I'm not a big Road to Perdition fan, but people love that. I mean, he's got all those movies people like and people kind of dislike equally. So I'm in just to give it a shot. Why not? I'm always down for a good war movie. The Lighthouse, A24.
Yeah, this looks awesome. The director of The Witch, Robert Eggers, who's a damn genius, and directing a black and white movie with Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson alone in a lighthouse. That's awesome. What dialogue. This sounded forceful. It sounded crazy. It was exciting. It was weird. And I'm all in.
It was all of that without me even hitting play.
Yeah.
I projected everything that he just said. I mean, I did watch the trailer, but I didn't need to because I was in from beforehand.
I'm still haunted by Willem Dafoe going, spill the beans. What the fuck is he talking about? That old-timey dialogue in the movie is really effective and creepy.
I need to watch this trailer.
Did you see The Witch?
No, I haven't yet. I know. It's on my list, man. I've been meaning to.
It's one of those horror movies that divide people because it's kind of a smart person's horror movie, which then you have that elite factor where people feel insulted when they don't get it and they just...
That's my cup of tea. Like, I'm not really a huge fan of, like, horror films, but give me something like that. Like, at least, like, the stuff like A24 has been, like, pumping out. Like, I'm in. I'm fine with that. I couldn't tell you why I haven't seen it. There's no reason. I want to see a movie about a demonic goat.
And, it's not about a demonic goat.
It's not about a demonic goat.
It's about witches, for real. And that's what's so fucked up about it, which I don't know. He managed to make a real movie about witches, similar to Ari Aster doing a real demon possession movie, and you're just like, okay, he pulled this off. And it not being, you know, still feeling new and fresh and beyond new and fresh, really.
Yeah.
Almost game-changing. And I because of that alone, I was in. But the trailer is just phenomenal.
So effective.
I'll check it out.
Can't wait till it comes out. The Irishman.
I don't understand. Why does this movie have a de-aged Robert De Niro? Why is that necessary?
Because he's... From what I understand, it's him as an old man looking back.
Okay.
So he's doing it himself instead of hiring a young guy.
Okay. It's weird.
Because they can.
I guess because they can.
Netflix gave $1 billion, whatever it was, to make it. So.
I don't know. I think people are reacting to this with a lot of nostalgia for Goodfellas. And I think that De Niro, Pacino, and Pesci haven't been very good in a long time.
Well, Pesci hasn't been in a very long time.
Fair. But... Scorsese, I love him. I love his stuff. I don't know. I'm not all in on this one just because I don't know. I just don't understand the necessity of the technology that they've applied here. I don't have the same. I love Goodfellas. Do I need another Goodfellas in my life? I don't know. I've already got Goodfellas.
I mean, Casino was okay. It was fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the problem is when you have Goodfellas, you're going to automatically think of that, and that'll always haunt this movie no matter what, because one, they're all in it, except for Pacino, and Scorsese directed it. But as, you know, it'll be hard to look at it as a standalone movie, I think. That said, De Niro's been bad, but he's also been good, depending on the movie he's in. We keep saying that every time he does a good movie with, like, David O. Russell or something like that. We're like, De Niro's back. And then he goes and does Dirty Grandpa or whatever.
Dirty Grandpa.
So, which he's not bad in. It's just a bad movie.
He tried. That's about it.
He went all in, and I was a big fan.
He had fun.
That was just poor directing. But, you know, and even Pacino, you know, Tarantino reined Pacino in for the scene and a half that he had him in. And he looks pretty reined in here. Scorsese's a great director and always brings out good performances. Even when, you know, you got the B and C level Scorsese, those movies are good. The problem you run into is you think of Taxi Driver and Raging Bull and Goodfellas, and It's hard to be like, well, why did you make Cape Fear? Because Cape Fear, by anybody else, is a fine movie.
Right.
But, you know, it was a C movie for Scorsese. So.
Right, yeah.
But that said, I'm in. I'm, if nothing else, curious. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm glad Pesci came back. And
yeah, it's funny. It's kind of reminding me in a weird way. And obviously, it's going to be tangential, but it's kind of reminding me of my reaction last week to the Mr. Rogers movie with Tom Hanks. Like, I know you're giving me what you think I want, but I kind of want other things now. I've kind of grown up since then.
Yeah, but this is, like, for me, like, I'm not really, like, super pumped for it.
Yeah.
But I can watch it on my couch. Like, I can. I don't have to really put much effort into it. So automatically, the bar is, like, really low. Like, Netflix movies, like, there's a reason why they're on Netflix half the time. Like, this probably
half the time, yeah.
Yeah, this probably isn't going to be Scorsese knocking it out of the park. This is him trying to make that $1 billion from Netflix. This is him trying to get that easy money, basically. I'll watch it. I'm excited. I like the people in it, but yeah.
In fairness, though, it's not like Netflix picked it up after it was done. They financed the movie to be made.
Yeah,
so.
So it's like, I don't really expect much. It could actually be good.
But Netflix is also, this is highly calculated to play off of our
nostalgia for sure.
For Goodfellas.
Well, we can look at the best things, most successful things on Netflix. Friends, The Office, yeah. Full House. So, of course. But, I mean, I mentioned it with The Departed. When that came out, that was kind of my Scorsese movie. Clearly not as good as Taxi Driver or, you know, the movies I mentioned earlier. But still, it was kind of him going back to that gangster kind of movie with, you know, and I'm old enough to enjoy it. In a way, this could be your Scorsese movie.
The Departed's been mine. I've watched that movie ever since I was way too young to watch it.
But you were
that
also
movie.
Young, so it's like... Yeah. I was probably the same age I was when Goodfellas came out, which I didn't watch until I was a little older. But I don't know. This one, I don't know. I'm giving this a shot. I'm kind of looking forward to it. And I guess the thing I'm least interested in is the fact that it's a Jimmy Hoffa story, more or less, or the guy that supposedly killed Jimmy Hoffa.
I have no idea when this movie's coming out.
This year, from what I understand. And they're putting it in theaters just so I can get award nominations.
Oh, right.
I mean, I don't know. If it's going nationwide, but it's going to go enough to get them.
Yeah, I'll probably just go like just think, LA, New York, Chicago, whatever.
I think Netflix does a terrible job of telling people when their movies come out. Like, you get to the weekend and you go, oh, here it is. Mm-hmm. This is here now.
Yeah, the only reason I even know anything comes out is usually because the comedians that show up on Netflix, they promote the hell out of it. So that's like, oh, Whitney Cummings is the new special out or something like that. And then The Fanatic.
Oh, my. Wow.
We talked about this a while ago.
We did?
When I heard the news that John Travolta was in a Fred Durst movie, that was news on the podcast like 3 years ago. And now it actually happened.
I completely forgot about that. This is bad. This is all sorts of bad. John Travolta looks utterly ridiculous. And who is the guy he's stalking?
I couldn't tell you.
I have no idea. I didn't recognize the actor at all. But in the credits, I saw the name Devin Sawa, and I'm like, that can't be Devin Sawa. No. The Idle Hands guy? That can't be him. No. I have no idea if that is him or not. But this movie looks utterly ridiculous. What kind of nonsense... What kind of idiot thinks, let's put a stupid wig on John Travolta and people will take our movie seriously for 10 seconds? Fuck you. No.
It's a guy who sang Nookie.
Fuck this movie.
It's bad. I expect this to be a Netflix movie. Like, right. This is bad.
Oh, I'm down for this movie.
For all the wrong reasons.
I guess it depends how you define wrong reasons.
Not the reasons the filmmaker wants you to be. Just
watch this man's career take a huge dip. Again.
How much lower can he go? Have you seen Speed Kills? Good God.
I'm surprised he hasn't joined Seagal on that cop TV show yet. Like, just quit acting and go be a cop with Seagal.
Oh, we're talking about John Travolta. They're talking about Fred Durst.
Oh. Same thing. They can be buddy cops together. That'd be great.
just goes to show that Scientology isn't nearly as powerful as we think it is. Just look at what it's done for Travolta. Absolutely nothing.
Lord Xenon or whatever isn't helping him out.
I'm on Fred Durst's IMDb page and his filmography as an actor. It's a bunch of Limp Bizkit videos and then Fred Durst sex tape short.
Oh.
Why is that on IMDb? I didn't know what was wrong with
that. He got paid union scale for that.
Yeah.
Unless it's an actual movie I'm not aware of.
His SAG card. Oh.
Oh, he's uncredited. My fault.
It's a different type of SAG card.
Oh.
2005, maybe not yet. But I can't wait for this movie.
See, guys, I actually did have sex.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw, okay. This is Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. Okay. If you want to get the title right. The characters of Luke Hobbs and Deckard Shaw from the Fast and the Furious movies get spun off into their own film in which they are enlisted to save the world alongside Shaw's sister, Hattie, played by Vanessa Kirby. And there's a virus that's going to wipe out all the weakest members of humanity, trying to be spread by Idris Elba, Brixton, Black Superman. He's a cybernetically enhanced human who can believably fight both Jason Statham and The Rock. And tremendous casting, just brilliant casting, because who else would you believe other than Idris Elba in that moment? Bunch of silly nonsense this movie, but I god damn it, I love silly nonsense. I've always loved silly nonsense when it comes to the Fast and the Furious movies. I had a hell of a good time watching this movie. This is fucking stupid as hell. This over-the-top, dumb, ridiculous cartoon physics from beginning to end. I mean, at one point, I swear to God, Idris Elba's magic motorcycle that could do anything. I think it went to the size of like a piece of paper and then expanded back out like a Looney Tunes character. It was brilliant. I love this movie.
Yeah, you and my 7-year-old.
Because to him, this is reality.
God, I wish this was reality.
This is fun.
Yeah, yes it was. Like, they made a motorcycle designed to do the thing that those cars did in the first Fast and Furious. It was able to flatten itself and go under a semi, man. Fuck, it was awesome. Like, I love the dumb shit. Like, yeah. Ever since Fast 5 happened, and they just basically, they threw in The Rock and they embraced, like, hey, we're basically making G.I. Joes. Like, we're essentially doing what they couldn't and making a badass good time. Oh, I loved it. This was a wonderful time for me.
Be a quick podcast. There were moments that were fun. It was just long. I got bored after a while.
Yeah.
The cameos were the best part for me. Especially Ryan Reynolds right at the beginning. I don't care if that's a spoiler or not.
Yeah, I didn't know he was in this. I had no idea.
And talking like a character who'd been here all along, which kind of bothered me a little bit, but I mean, it's Ryan Reynolds, so I didn't mind that much.
Right.
I actually hated the Kevin Hart cameo. I wanted him to go away very quickly. He made this movie so much longer with his cameo.
Yeah, I chuckled at first because I was like, oh, yeah, it's his buddy. And then I was like, oh. It's the same joke over and over and over and over again.
He's very little, and he wants to be part of the team.
Mm.
And the fact that The Rock and Kevin Hart have made a billion movies together at this point.
Yes.
You're pretty much just rewatching those.
Stop. This was too much of that. This was just... And you do it for like 2 minutes. Don't do it for 10 minutes, which it felt like that playing scene lasted about 10, 20, 15, 80 minutes. Like, it was long. That bit... He just keeps riffing and riffing and riffing. And then they call him, and he riffs more, and he riffs more, and he riffs more. You got me on LinkedIn? You got my email? You got my mom's phone number? We get the joke. Yes, they're not going to contact you. We understand.
Yeah, and the whole, like, two-thirds of the way through the movie, it just really started to drag for me. Then when they finally get to Samoa or whatever it is, that got picked up a little bit. But even that took forever to get going. But I guess at the same time, you've introduced a bunch of new characters, and now you got to spend time learning about them. But... I mean, it's a silly action movie, but, you know, I see this, and then, you know, it's well, bad mouth a cartoon. That's a silly cartoon. Like, why is this okay and that not? I mean, I don't know the answer to that. Why is this okay? Why isn't Adam Sandler movie not okay? It's the same thing, but this one's okay. So it's. But again, it's fun enough. My son loved it. He wanted to see it again. And my wife was like, why did you drag me to this? I'm like, you didn't have to come. My daughter had a gymnastics meet, so there's a theater next door. I'm like, can me and Harrison go see this? And she's like, I got nothing else to do. I'm like, you sure?
I think it's because the Fast and the Furious movies aren't actively hateful the way the Sandler movies are.
They're not hateful. They are actively hateful at times.
Yes, they do act.
That's a projection.
he's got a cynicism to his work that is not here. This is an absolutely uncynical work. Where same with Fast and the Furious. There's a definitely calculation in terms of what appeals to people, but it is uncynical in how just over the top silly it is.
Well, right, but the cynical is based on, because it's comedy versus action. So you don't have time to be cynical with action. I mean, you could. I mean, I guess, but
there's a purity to the dumb here that I appreciate. That's lacking in other things. It's just this is a pure distillation of dumb that is just kind of beautiful.
I think it's just like a mixture of like loud cars, bald, angry dudes, and like extremely loud rap music. It just automatically, you combine those things, and I think you're just bound to have a good time. Like, it's kind of hard to screw that up. And then you throw in Black Superman. You throw in this robot dude, which I want him to play Black Superman. I think he could do it perfectly. Like, it would be wonderful. Like,
it's nice to see them. It's nice to see a movie take the chains off of Idris Elba's, you know, charisma. Because usually he has to be restrained and dignified, and he's not having to do that here. He can just be a big giant jackass if he wants to. And I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Now, I've only seen I saw the first Fast movie and then this one. I've seen nothing in between.
Oh, really?
Is The Rock always trying to play Stone Cold Steve Austin and not The Rock?
Basically. They throw in, like a couple movies ago, he, put Jason Statham through the people's elbow. Like, it was wonderful, but, like...
But they make jokes about the eyebrow and this and that, but then he talks about opening up a can of whoop-ass, and he's saying some bitch a lot.
He kept saying that so much, I expected Stone Cold to show up. Because I knew Roman Reigns was popping up, which I still don't understand, because he spoke.
He was an extra.
Yeah.
Basically, he injured a cameraman, and that was all he did.
He said his catchphrase.
I didn't hear him. He made his catchphrase noise. But even that was off mic.
That's his catchphrase.
Oh, man. I was a little upset that Rikishi and the Uso brothers didn't show up too.
Right?
Like the fact
you're
that like
there, why not?
Yeah, you Idris know? Elba didn't get the stank face. Like that really upsets me.
Yeah, Jason Statham wasn't even really in the final fight.
No.
He drove a car a little bit, but it was all Samoans against whatever that organization was.
Yeah. I honestly, that's another thing about this movie. I could not tell you what their plan is. I don't know what the bad guy's plan is. There's a virus. I know there's a virus. Beyond that, I don't know what they're hoping to accomplish at all, and I don't care.
I didn't even realize that the virus was in little capsules in her hand until like two-thirds of the way through the movie. Because I thought it was just like in her bloodstream, and she was just eventually going to liquefy or some shit. I didn't expect it to be like capsules, and they didn't really explain that.
They did not care to explain it all.
They didn't really explain when they all fell off the cliff and survived, like every single one of them. Now, you really want to make me happy. Roll credits right after they all all of them are dead. Movie over. Now you got some balls.
That would be wonderful.
That's how the last Fast should end.
Them blowing up in space.
Oh God, no!
Will they get Vin Diesel to space?
That's what I gonna happen. Like, I know that's like the common joke, but like, it's been said so many times. They'd be stupid to not do it. Like that last one's gonna just be like them flying around Mars or some shit, fighting like a ludicrous alien clone or something. They're gonna jump the shark so hard because they can.
Yeah.
They should jump the shark and nuke the fridge at the same time.
Yeah.
Put both of those in the movie.
It's like a robotic nuclear shark being piloted by like...
Don't even take it to the theater, put it on the sci-fi channel and they'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's where it belongs.
I'm in.
Vin Diesel catches a nuclear bomb in his hand.
Oh my God, yeah. The Rock did it. Why can't he? He's going to want to one up him since he got the spinoff. Like, him and John Cena are just going to, like, tag team some nuke in space. It's going to be wonderful.
At least Dave Bautista's not doing it.
Yeah.
Didn't he say something like, well, I only do good movies?
Oh.
Oh, I forgot about that. Maybe they're just setting up some WrestleMania beef.
I think he's done. So basically, now this has its own little world, because this is clearly continuing. The bad guy's not dead.
Right.
Idris Elba is, but the bad guy's not. Part of me thought they might reveal it to be Ryan Reynolds or something like that. But
I was waiting, yeah.
That'd make absolutely no sense. But
no.
That's, it's going to be Stone Cold. He's going to be the bad guy.
It's Vince McMahon.
Oh, man, yes. Just go meta as hell, like that Black Mirror episode. Just full on go for it.
I thought for sure it was going to be revealed to be Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Because she was the villain of the last Fast movie. So
did she die? Like, is she still alive? I don't remember.
I think she got away.
Yeah, I just remember the fight with a baby on a plane, and I was just
that
so distracted. Awesome. Yeah, I was so distracted by that.
Yeah.
I saw her President movie the other day. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was really good.
That's a good movie.
I mean, there's definitely things that hold it back from being great, but it was a lot of fun. That's the type of fun that you need.
Yeah, Seth Rogen's just a charming dude. I love him.
Yeah.
And Charlize is pretty perfect.
She's wonderful.
Everything she does lately. Even her bad movies.
Longshot's like a top 10 movie for me, even like bottom of the top 10, but it's top 10.
Well, it's early.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. Anything else on Hobbs and Shaw?
I highly recommend it for the Fast and Furious fans. I think it's just right along. They definitely nailed the tone of the Fast movies and how stupid.
I was going to ask that. Did they nail it? Because it was catchphrase. I mean, it made any 80s movie cringe. Because yeah, they have the catchphrases, but this was like every other line was yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And I was like, okay, just keep going, I guess.
Yeah, this is the cinematic universe we deserve. If they continue this...
This is America's...
Yes.
America's
yes.
Franchise.
Marvel had their time, DC tried, let's do this.
This is how you unite America.
I want a Ludacris and Tyrese movie. So bad. Maybe a Netflix series or on Hulu, I want it.
That should work.
Oh. Just a bunch of shit-talking bald dudes, man. This is my favorite thing.
Oh.
Anything else? Any complaints with the movie? Anything?
Like Kevin Hart.
Besides Kevin Hart.
But no, not really. I mean, Vanessa Kirby is pretty awesome.
She was great.
She was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked her a lot. Her introduction is really strong. They build her up. They put her over as a badass throughout. I thought that was really well played, and it didn't feel like that really intentional girl power shit that other movies try to do. They're just like, she's just naturally a badass.
And she's been one of the Mission Impossible movies. Is she?
I have no idea. I didn't honestly know if I'd seen her before or not.
Yeah, she's done some things, but nothing. I think this is kind of a breakout role for her where she would probably disappear in the Fast movies because there's so many people you recognize. Mm-hmm. Here she can. She's, can be right there along with Jason Statham and The Rock, and I thought it was, to me, she was kind of the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, she definitely, kind of brought it in a little better. Like, the other two were just, they're pretty much just hating on each other and just talking shit the whole time, which is still great, but she kind of, got them a little more uniformed and kind of made it, make sense a little more, and it was kind of cool. Like, they kind of needed that third person to play off of.
It would get tiresome or tedious to listen to them constantly be at odds.
Yeah, it's the same reason. Like, we kind of got tired of Rush Hour because it overstayed its welcome. We don't want to. We've seen that. We need a little break on that sometimes.
I mean, I needed a break about two-thirds of the way through. I will say,
I also like that romantic thread between her and Rock. I thought
that was
cool.
That was fun.
That was good chemistry.
It was, especially when they finally kissed. That was funny. The problem I had more than anything else is Jason Statham's 52. She's 31, and they're showing clips of them as kids playing. It's like, well, he's 20 and she's 2. At least let's be accurate here. Other than that, mean, it is what it is. Kind of exactly what I thought it'd be. My 7-year-old loved it, and my wife didn't. Shall we move on?
Sure.
All right, let's see. I haven't done this in a while.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event for the linear, legitimate, and universally recognized Undisputed Classic.
The Great Escape?
Yes, a rather random choice, just because I kind of wanted to watch this movie. I've always kind of wanted to watch this movie, and I just never get around to it, because it's nearly 3 hours long and was made in 1962, so it tends not to be a movie I rush out to see, if I'm being completely honest, even as a film snob. And it's not French, so I mean, if it were French, maybe I would... So I would have already seen it. Steve McQueen is the standout of an ensemble here. About a group of soldiers, a true story, a group of soldiers taken to the most difficult to escape from Nazi prison in Germany after having been captured. And basically they've been tasked with one thing. If you get captured, your job is to try and escape by any means possible and to make as much trouble as possible for the Germans. And the Germans, in reaction, have created this, what they feel is a camp that you can't escape from. And that's the plot. That's going to be your dynamic throughout, is them coming up with various ways of escape and being disruptive. It's interesting. It's an interesting story. I never heard the story before. It's watchable. Is it a classic? I mean, I don't really... It feels like a, I don't want to compare it to a Fast and Furious movie, really, but it has a little bit more depth and a little bit more talent than that. But it's a straight ahead action movie in many ways, and it does feel like more of like this would be kind of a summer blockbuster, if you will. Like if it were made today, you'd populate it not with, you know, the big time great actors, but with Vin Diesel and.
Well, it'd have a hard time being made today because it has more balls than a Fast and Furious. You know, nobody dies in the Fast and Furious movies, but
fair.
This would be probably a Netflix movie, that one of the better ones, you know, something like Triple Frontier, something like that, that is really watchable, but that's also not afraid to go somewhere, you know, and that's kind of what I picked up out of it more than, but you're right, it's definitely more of a watchable action movie than it is, you know, Apocalypse Now or whatever.
Yeah.
The characters are good characters and solid actors. I don't know what it is that holds me back about loving the movie. Maybe it's the length. It gets a little bit repetitive in the middle portion where they're just kind of coming up with their various ways of getting rid of the dirt or being discovered by the Nazis and having one of their holes discovered. I did enjoy the dynamics between the characters. You know, they set up, they essentially set the characters up in pairs, and each pair has their own unique dynamic to them. And I was appreciating that. I enjoyed Charles Bronson's character has a lot of unique depths about being a guy who's a tunnel rat and yet he hates enclosed spaces, which I thought that's a choice. That's an interesting one. I dig it. And I bought in on what he was going for there. His wanting out of that tunnel, even though he's a king, he's the tunnel king. I bought into that, and I'm in all these characters. It's just I don't know why I don't love it. I appreciate it really. I don't care though.
Did you know it was just kind of more of an action movie, watchable, fun movie than it was?
I had a lot of it built up to me. Like, this is the kind of movie that ends up on one of those lists of 100 movies that every man must see.
Yeah.
And so this movie's been built up like all that macho bullshit.
But so does like Goodfellas and Godfather, which I think is horseshit too. Here's how disinterested I was early on, and this is almost embarrassing to say, but I will because it's funny. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't really know much about this movie other than like Charles Bronson and Steve McQueen were in it. I didn't realize it was a World War II movie at all. I just sat there and go, why do all these movies like Cool Hand Luke and Escape from Alcatraz treat the bad guys like the good guys and the guards like the bad guys? And then finally, like 15, 20 minutes in, I'm like, oh, they're Nazis.
Cool.
clearly I was doing other things, looking at my phone, and then it dawned on me, oh.
Wow. Well,
when you don't pay attention.
Josh hasn't been on the podcast for a while. Somebody needs to fill the void.
I couldn't really pay attention to this movie a whole lot either. Like, I caught that there was the Nazis and stuff, but I didn't realize that that was their job to go in there and break out of the prison. I thought that were just like, fuck being in prison, we're going to break out.
And that's kind of what I was thinking, but not knowing they're Nazis.
It's the most lighthearted prison I've ever seen. Like, maybe this, like, in real life, this actually was as laid back as it was, but, like, shit, they got away with a lot. Like, that's the kind of thing that kind of took me out of it, because I was like, man, you know, all the stuff I've seen and read on Nazis, I didn't expect them to be like, yeah, go ahead and throw a kegger. It's the 4th of July. Who cares?
They are very, like, yeah, they don't feel very threatening at times. And, like, you keep waiting for them to actually, like, just shoot them. If they're so dangerous, if this is such a dangerous thing, why are you waiting? Just go ahead. This guy keeps escaping. Just put a bullet in his head. I mean, isn't that what you're supposed to do in this situation? Not that I'm rooting for the Nazis. I'm just wondering about the logic from a movie perspective. But this is, again, this is based on a true story. Now, is the McQueen character and all that he does based on a true story? That feels more like a cool guy character thing.
Well,
as
Lone Survivor is based on a true story, too. Right. But then the guy was like, I'm going to be Rambo.
Yeah.
No offense to the guy who did all that. But I don't know. I think the fact that I wasn't paying attention helped me, because one ended up being more of a fun movie than it was a serious movie. And then the fact that they actually let people actually die, they don't all make it.
Right.
It just worked for me better, I guess. It is a little long, but when you're not paying attention for the first half hour, the
it goes by
next two and a half, next two are good.
It took me two sittings to get through it. I started it at night, and then I had to finish it the next morning because I couldn't stay awake.
Yeah.
I typically try to stay away from movies that long. Like, I usually just kind of start to, like, lose interest unless it's, like, something like, you know, The Avengers or, like, fucking Lord of the Rings, maybe. Like, it takes a lot to get me to sit down for 3 hours, so I know I did a lot more, like, playing on my phone or my Switch than I did really, like, pay attention. This movie, it's all right. I respect it and I get it, but it's not something I'm glad I didn't have to buy it. Like,
I think I'd watch this over Lord of the Rings, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Definitely not Return of the King. Like, the other two, yeah, because they're a little more boring, but Return of the King's pretty tight. At least my point.
I'd watch this. This is much breezier for me than Lord of the Rings is.
And I tried really hard to get Sean to do Once Upon a Time in America for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But he was like, let's just watch an hour a week leading up to it. It's on Netflix. And I was going to do it just to be a dick, but it's too long.
How long is it?
4 hours.
Oof.
Or just under 4 hours.
No, thank you.
It's long, yeah.
No, thank you.
It may be amazing. I don't know. Yeah, so not really a classic, but it's on Netflix, right? So if you want to watch it, or it's on Prime, one of them, I can't remember.
Yeah, it's really watchable, and you know, McQueen's fine. Again, there's another of these iconic actors that I know a particular generation loved. He's fine. McQueen doesn't leap out at me. I'm sorry. I know he's supposed to, and I know he does. Quentin Tarantino, you know, obviously is a big fan of Steve McQueen, but he's all right. I've seen a few McQueen movies. He's good. He doesn't really blow me away. He doesn't leap off the screen to me.
No Jimmy Stewart.
Exactly.
Was this classic influenced by Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at all? Like that little,
I'm sure,
that bit?
Tiny bit.
Yeah. Cause that bit, like, one of my favorites in that movie, by the way. Like, I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, that was a really great way to encapsulate that relationship between those three characters, was having McQueen as the narrator of that moment, talking about Sharon Tate and her relationship to Roman Polanski and Jay Sebring. He illustrates it through this party at the Playboy Mansion where he's talking to another character and explaining, just for no real good reason, but it's just such a smart way to do it. And that capper about him never having a chance because he always wanted to be with Sharon. He wanted Sharon Tate, and then he notices that beautiful, brilliant woman points out she's got a type. And he goes, yeah, I never had a chance. Because he's big, he's tall, blonde, and handsome, and they're just these little trolls.
So the moral of the story is go see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
The real Steve McQueen movie.
Do that instead.
That's a joke. That's a joke, Steve McQueen fans.
That's okay. We don't have any Steve McQueen fans listening. More Tarantino than anything.
Hell yeah. That's the way it should be.
1989. 30 years ago, we had, let's go from worst to best, Parenthood.
You are talking about the worst, for sure, because I fucking hate this movie now. I'm having these like weird moments because of this show. And I blame you, Bob. This is all your fault for putting me through.
Yeah, because the 30-year segment wasn't your idea. You were doing that before the podcast.
I know. Through this show, I've come to realize a couple things about myself is that I can question Martin Scorsese, and I really hate I hate Steve Martin. I'm sorry. I do. I know. This is a thing that's taken me years to kind of come to terms with. I don't like Steve Martin, okay? I tried to like Three Amigos. I tried to like a lot of things. I like The Jerk. I'm still with The Jerk. I hate Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Fucking hate it. And this, oh my God, I was 2 minutes into this thing and I wanted to turn it off. I was so irritated by it. This is the story of a very wide-ranging family. Lots of actors in this movie. Joaquin Phoenix is in this. Keanu Reeves is in this. Oh, man. There's a lot of people in this movie. But Steve Martin is the main character, Gil, who's kind of the center of the whole family. He's got kids who are weird, and I don't know. I don't really care about this plot. I turned it off halfway through, even though I've seen this movie a few times previously as a much younger person. I just kind of blew it off. This time I'm watching it, and I was just hating every second of it. I mean, really hating it. It is a painful watch, but one of the weirder things that takes place in this movie, did you know there's a mass shooting joke in this movie?
Well, it's not fair. It's bad timing.
I mean, it is bad timing at the same time. There's a mass shooting joke in this movie.
Yeah?
They weren't, and it's happening not the movie's back fault then.
Well, they
I mean, they did, but not like they are now.
There were 3 mass shootings in 1989.
Right. How many were there this year?
How many are there this week?
Yeah.
They're
3.
But,
damn.
It's just weird timing, but it does just kind of point to a fact that why was this ever funny? Why did anybody ever think this was funny? And it's not. And the thing about it is, even in the context of the movie, it's not played very funny. Like, they don't make it funny. Like, they're telling an edgy joke. So basically, his son has he's having trouble at school. Steve Martin puts him in and baseball at second base, and the kid has success initially, and he has this fantasy that his son is now going to grow up to be the most well-adjusted, happy person in the world. Then the kid drops the ball, they lose the game, and suddenly he's miserable, and so he fantasizes that his son is now on top of a bell tower with a rifle shooting at people. And that's the joke, that because he's failed as a father, his son is now a mass murderer.
Jesus.
It goes really dark for a stupid movie like this. This is not a movie that develops enough weight to carry a joke that's that kind of edgy. And granted, I know you're going to say that's edgy now, or it was edgy then to do a mass shooting joke. It's always been a little bit edgy to do that joke.
It's always been a little bit edgy.
That type of darkness for this movie doesn't fit, because this movie is not that dark. It's a family comedy for the most part. It's like if you had a mass shooting joke in Cheaper by the Dozen. Which I,
well, granted, they,
the only shooting joke about that is me wanting to shoot every character in that movie.
Dark. So, I mean, I haven't seen this in forever. I can't remember the mass shooting joke. Are they actually showing people blown away, or is it just the idea of him up there?
He's up there, and you hear bullets pinging, and you can see people cowering.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. The movie sucks anyway, so I don't even need to argue the semantics.
It's a terrible movie. And it, even if you took it out of the context of today and all the mass shootings today, it's still
right. It's not gonna.
The bit itself isn't funny.
Right.
And it's not positioned funny because the movie isn't funny. And this is Ron Howard. Another thing that keeps happening to me is I keep kind of questioning Ron Howard now.
I've been questioning him since I was a kid.
Yeah. I like Frost Nixon. I think Frost Nixon's a really good movie.
Oh, he makes great movies, but then he, you know, I'm waiting till we get to Backdraft. Yeah. You know, a movie I loved. But I do know that Kurt Russell dies twice in it, so. And he says, you go, we go.
Yeah.
So, if it was a rock movie, he'd say it every other line. So, but yeah, I don't know. I'm a big fan of letting comedians be funny, whether or not I hide you. And I try not to care one way or the other, but if the movie's bad, the movie's bad. It's weird that Steve Martin, Robin Williams, Billy Crystal, guys that are kind of on this pedestal of comedy that don't really make good movies. Robin Williams has some, pretty much strictly as a dramatic actor.
Yeah.
And then people are back and forth on his dark comedy stuff with Bobcat Goldthwait. But
I
think it's due to the fact that just on television, they're hilarious. Whether on Carson or Letterman or whoever else, whatever they do, they're so good at hosting award shows and whatnot, that or SNL, that put them on this upper echelon of comedians, but their movies are not that great. They have one or two apiece, but that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I like The Jerk, but I'm sitting here just searching my brain for something I like about Steve Martin that he's done in a movie, and I can't find it.
But even besides, like, say, let's just say for argument's sake, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you know, people do like that movie.
Sure.
What was the other one that?
Three Amigos.
Okay, then what? You know, Roxanne, then... Okay, we'll keep going. What else you got?
I don't like Roxanne either.
But, you know, those are kind of the four movies that you could even be like, okay, I'll give you those, but what else? You
know? L.A. Story, Shop Girl, that it's complicated. Those are all bad.
And even all if... Bad. But even in those scenarios, that's him trying to be more serious than comedic, so...
And they're still not very good, though.
Right. Well... But even if he gave you those, it wouldn't be a comedian thing. It'd be like, okay, Good Will Hunting and Dead Poets Society. Okay, what else, Robin Williams? Those don't count. They're not funny.
Yeah, I've never seen Parenthood, and I'm good. I like Steve Martin. Like, I like his comedy and stuff, but it's hard for me to sign up for a Steve Martin movie, honestly. Like, we had to watch Cheaper by the Dozen all the time. Oof. Growing up. Cause I have a sister.
Yeah.
She loves that movie.
Wow.
I hated that movie. Fuck even it. Like the especially the sequel. Ooh. Like, I love me some Eugene Levy, but that movie just that's pain.
Garbage. Just absolute garbage. I hate those movies.
But
so
that's
much.
The thing. As soon as Eugene Levy got a little famous, he just did everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He went from, like, strictly great comedy, you know, and then just turned into every comedy imaginable.
Yeah, did he do, like, two of the American Pie sequels that nobody saw?
He's the one who stuck around.
Yeah, he was in all of them. He just happened to show up all the time, and he'd always talk about his son. And it was like, it was weird. It didn't really fit.
Anybody want pie? It's the only line in all those movies.
Young Einstein? I don't remember that one.
So Zach, back in the day... We, as a culture, allowed something to happen that allowed so much of Australian culture to come to this country that some of it wasn't bad. Like, we let Mel Gibson in. That was good. And,
for
a little while.
Depending on what room you're in.
For a little while. For a little while, that was all right. For some reason, we decided to – we brought this young man to this country by the name of Yahoo Sirius, and we allowed him to make movies. And to this day, no one really knows why we did that.
All right.
He was on MTV a few times, and he was just weird. He had strange hair and a lot of energy, and he yelled and screamed and ran around.
So he was your guys' Dane Cook. He was the Australian Dane Cook. I understand, man.
No, you don't. Dane... Yeah, no, it's worse than that.
Oh, shit.
I'm trying to think of a good like corollary to today, and I mean the culture is still shit today. It was just as shitty.
It's a different
then,
type of it? Shit.
Different type of shitty. Yeah, it was Australian and loud and not particularly funny, and nobody quite knows why we did that.
And he made three movies, like 88, 93, and 2000.
He made a movie in 2000.
Mr. Accident. He directed all of them too.
Yeah. Wow.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, Yahoo Serious.
All right.
That was a thing that we allowed to happen as a culture.
Like, what all, okay, what all besides the one we're talking about and then Mr. Accident, what else did he make?
Reckless Kelly.
Never heard of that
Never heard of it. So, but, yeah, 0 for 3.
Basically, young Einstein is just Einstein inventing rock and roll, I think it is, and then Einstein invents, like, all the greatest things of all time by accident and blows himself up, and, yeah.
Is it,
it's kind of like that guy you hate in the new Dora movie.
Eugenio Derbez, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the closest thing I can think of.
Is this, like, what time period is this in? Like, is this, like, modern day, or is
this is actually during Einstein's time.
Okay, so there's
But he looks like a hairband kind of guy.
Oh, no shit.
He looks like a clown, yeah.
Oh, God, I might have to track this down. Might be a Costco rum and shitty movie night in my future.
Was this? Could you find this movie online? I couldn't find it. I didn't really look that hard.
I'm sure I can find it in Russian on YouTube somewhere.
It's $3 on... Well, I should say that. It says it on IMDb. I haven't gone to Amazon to actually look.
Yeah.
No, it's there for $3.
I'm willing to throw $3 into the fire. I've spent more money on worse, so...
Oh, yeah.
Crocodile Dundee and Mad Max comes Yahoo Serious, an offbeat, off-center, and off-the-wall cult hero of this unorthodox version of the early life of Albert Einstein.
See, I'm conflicted. I love me some Mad Max. Crocodile Dundee's all right, but me and Mad Max, we go way back.
See, that was another thing to this podcast room. I probably never watched it, but we finally watched it. I'm like, nothing happens in these movies.
Crocodile Dundee, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mad Max, too.
Oh, yeah, Mad Max. Oh, God, yeah.
Fury Road's fantastic, but everything else is just kind of like, when does Mel Gibson get here?
I'm all about Road Warrior. That's, like, one of my all-time favorite movies, yeah.
Our problem is we try to watch all of them in 1 week, and I don't know.
It's like my Saturday. Just sit there, and I just drink PBR and watch all Mad Max movies. Clenched fist on the edge of my seat, just...
It's all the aggro you can muster.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. It's this or go out and just be an incel. I don't know, man. You gotta burn off those frustrations somehow. Just kidding about the incel thing, everybody.
I've actually met Zach's girlfriend. It's all right.
She's a cardboard cutout on an RC car. Nah, she's a wonderful woman.
You guys need to watch the Whitney Cummings Netflix special.
She going in on incels?
She's got a sex robot that she designed after herself that comes out on stage at the end of
it. Oh, Jesus.
It's amazing. She named it Bear Claw. Because all guys they call girls like cupcake and whatnot. Right. So she's like, why can't they name us after like a cool sounding dessert like Bear Claw? It's a really good special. Lockup. Speaking of really good.
Lockup. 1989 was a dark time. It was a dark time for popular culture and a dark moment for Sylvester Stallone as he makes a drama about being locked up in prison. So he basically he's at the single most lax prison in the world. Like, he gets to spend weekends with his girlfriend at the prison that he's currently at.
But can he throw keggers on the 4th of July?
I don't know.
He can barely throw a football.
Well, yeah, like, in the current prison, like, where he starts, he's working on cars. You think he's just a mechanic. Like, he's not even in jail because he's going home to be with his girlfriend at the weekend. And then he's back in jail and he's sleeping, and then one night just all these guards burst in and they take him to the Supermax prison where Donald Sutherland is just chomping on the scenery left and right, just over the top brutal acting. He's taken him there because this is the one guy who escaped from his prison years ago and cost him his job as a warden at a good prison. And so now he's going to, for the last 6 weeks of Stallone's time in prison, he's going to make it a living hell and try and get him killed or if not get him killed, at least get more time on his sentence so he can keep him in prison longer.
How many times can Stallone make this movie? I swear he just made this three times, two of them with Batista.
It's basically the escape room movies, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
But part two is bad. One and three are fine.
I've seen three. I never want to see it.
Three just came out, I think.
Because two was just fucking brutal.
Well, they have gone on record to say the director was awful to work with, and yeah, that was a terrible movie, but three's back and good again.
All right.
Oh, whatever that means.
All right.
Unwatchable. But so is Lockup, pretty much.
Oh, Lockup's fine.
Lockup is incredibly dull, aside from a Donald Sutherland performance that is just, like, he's the only one who knows what movie he's making. He's like, okay, I'm in a Sylvester Stallone movie. I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to get you. You're going to spend the rest of your life in my prison.
Sounds wonderful.
He does. The rest of the movie sucks, though. Every other character is incredibly dull. And Stallone thinks he's making an Oscar movie, so, you know, he's very serious.
See, he projects. It's okay when The Rock's a sponge lines the whole time, but when Stallone tries,
it's too much.
He's trying, it's just he's not succeeding is the problem. He's just not very good.
I like Lockup.
Okay.
I don't love it. It's fun enough for me. Like, I guess I wouldn't put this on the Copland level. I'd put this more on a silly action movie. But
I'm fine with that.
Not that Copland's anything to write home about either, but I don't know. It's fun and silly, and Donald Sutherland's a great bad guy.
He's the only watchable aspect of this.
Stallone plays Stallone. So if you like watching Stallone, it's Stallone. When he's not Rambo or Rocky.
I'm in.
Did you like the Cobra nod in Hobbs and Shaw?
Oh, God, I didn't even notice.
He had a big Cobra poster on one of the walls.
Really?
Yes.
I missed that.
Man, I can't wait to watch that movie again. I can't wait to buy that and watch it again.
What the fuck is wrong with you guys?
It's just... brain damage, possibly, man. I can't wait.
I don't need to see it again or anything. Like, I've never gone back to any of the Fast and the Furious movies, even though I go back to them only to do research for the next one. But.
What do you need to do research? Aren't they just kind of recycling what they did before?
It's complicated. It's out of order. It's not what you think.
It's a whole lot of nonsense.
Right.
I'll sometimes just go back and watch the previous one to see if I think that I know where the story is. Like, I don't remember if Charlize Theron is dead or not, so I might have to go back and watch.
Yeah, I might be heading back. A couple months ago, I bought the whole series, and me and the girlfriend did a whole marathon over the course of a weekend, and it was exhausting, but man, it was a fucking awesome time. The first few were hard to get through, and then once The Rock and that fucking safe started going through all the buildings, popped up, man. Oh, I was in. We're back in.
You skipped Tokyo Drift, right?
We watched Tokyo Drift, but that was the one where we drank a little.
Okay.
I think we actually took a few shots before that one because we kind of had to. Because I always forget that dude had like a really bad accent. Like, yeah, that's one thing that like kind of just died, and then that he popped up in he popped up in one of the Fast and Furious movies. I totally forgot about that shitty accent. That's bad. But good ass time.
Sex, Lies, and Videotapes.
Now this is a hell of a movie. Steven Soderbergh, 1989, the Palme d'Or winner at Cannes. Here's the story.
Over Spike Lee's movie, Do the Right Thing.
Probably that should have won. I'll say that. But
that's what Spike Lee said too.
But Sex, Lies, and Videotapes is a really interesting movie, though. Peter Gallagher is married to Andie MacDowell. They are not in a very good relationship. He's rarely home. She's at home all the time. They're not having sex. He's sleeping with her sister, Laura Sangiacomo, when his college roommate returns to town. They're in Baton Rouge. His college roommate is played by James Spader. He's this kind of bohemian character who is living out of his car and just kind of has this lifestyle that nobody really understands. He just kind of has some inherited money, and maybe that's just how he gets by. He has this habit, in the perfectly James Spader sort of way, of just kind of asking very intimate questions of you, whether and just kind of ingratiating you to answer him. And that leads to a revelation. He's talking to Andy McDowell over lunch, just the two of them. She's helping him try to find an apartment because he's staying with them. And she basically says she hates sex and she just doesn't want to do it anymore. And he's, well, I'm impotent. He just comes right out with that. And then that leads to further conversations about what it is that his impotency is from. He's not necessarily non-functional. He just has a very particular thing that he has to do in order to get where he needs to get to. And that is to have women tell him what their sexual fantasies are. And he records it on videotape and watches it back later. And that's how he pleasures himself, is that. It's the only way he can achieve it, is that way. And so he eventually is going to invite each of these women, the sister first, because she's the most willing, and then eventually Andy McDowell, into this moment where he's videotaping them and talking to them and having this very intimate conversation about their sexual history. And it leads to a very interesting question that I guess I could pose to either of you, being in relationships. Which is worse to you? I guess the actual physical act of your wife cheating on you, or her being more open with another man in terms of her desires and what she's done in her past with somebody else, maybe telling him even things that you've never heard before about herself in this very intimate setting?
I think probably the cheating part. Because the other part, like, yeah, it kind of sucks, but, like, also, like, me as a person, if that's, like, if that helps you, that helps him, like, that's kind of your form of therapy, have at it. But I don't know, I don't know, man, that's a tough fucking question.
Yeah, it's hard to take it in context, too, because then you almost got to put yourself in the scenario they're in order to truly answer it. I mean, because in a way, they're both cheating. One's more emotional, one's more physical, but I don't know. We're pretty, I'm about to say open. That's not what I meant. But, you know, we're good at communicating, so it wouldn't bother me. It would be hard for me to, I don't know. If there was something that she told somebody else that I didn't know about, she'd probably be like, oh, this, I just remembered this, and she'd tell me later on anyway. And I wouldn't really care. So, you know, it was something she wasn't able to tell me. But that would just be, I would have to be in that scenario. I just can't imagine being in that scenario. So I guess I'll just say the cheating, because in terms of the conversation, I don't feel like I'm in that scenario. But
yeah, and cheating sucks anyway. So,
but yeah, it's like, it's basically what's worse, physical cheating or emotional cheating?
You know? That's the basic question of it.
So I would say emotional is worse, but, you know, because I don't know.
Well, I'll go home. We'll have a serious conversation. I'll answer this question next time I come on.
I need to know everything about your history.
I'll see what she wants to do, which side of the coin she wants to take.
And I'm going to podcast it, and I'm going to release it.
Yeah. We're going to get you. Right. We're going to boost this Patreon.
Bob, now is the time where we pause the show and you go get your wife.
We're just going to be sitting here listening to Chris Brown.
You leave the room.
Oh, she'd tell you everything. And I should be like, you're a teacher. You can't say those things. That's our show. where are we at with time? 5:20. Yeah, so that is our show. Next week we've got 6 new movies.
Probably 5. I mean, I probably won't have to see the Bring the Soul documentary.
Art of Racing in the Rain, Brian Banks, The Kitchen, Dora and the Lost City of Gold, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, 1989, The Abyss turns 30, Nightmare on Elm Street, The Dream Child turned 30. We don't have a classic off the top of our head.
If you want to suggest one? No, I'll come up with something.
Trying to think of something to link it to a Dream Child or a giant crack in the ground.
Bring
or...
a baby. It's a classic.
Gremlins 2.
Never. Under any circumstance.
When does that turn 30?
Okay, under that circumstance.
Are there any movies where there's an illegitimate child or something like that we can do a movie?
There's something, I'm sure. I'll
just watch like an hour and a half of like Maury paternity videos. just review that, because that's always a good time.
Or pedophile movies, there you or go. Burn victim movies.
Old Subway commercials.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I want to thank our Patreon supporters. We'll start with our key group level, Charlie Messing and Hall of Famer Jason Bryant. At the character actor level, Josh and Beth Paul, Cousin Jeff and Christina Cato. At the sci-fi level, Corey Finneran and Sarah Morrell. And then our movie star, Dave Sievers. If you want to be a Patreon supporter, head over to ihatecritics.net/Patreon to get yourself credit on the show. There's also a PayPal link if you want to make a one-time donation. And then if you want to get our merch, ihatecritics.net/... Just click on the podcast merch tab once you're there. And that will... And take a picture of yourself and something. We can share it on our social media. Tell your friends about the show. Rate and review the show. We'll read your review on the air, you know, especially Apple Podcasts. That's the best place to review us. But wherever you can really helps us out. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Do you guys... Are we going to rank anything? Are we going to do a flick chart, or what are you thinking?
A flick chart sounds good.
The Box, Once Upon a Time in the West.
Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in the West.
I agree. I think the idea of The Box was cool, but then...
Nothing.
There was a little bit, yeah. Big Daddy, Star Trek 09.
Star Trek.
Big Daddy. Mad Max, Jarhead. Two guys we talked about, Mad Max and Sam Mendes, on the same show.
Jarhead,
Mad Max.
It's Jarhead. I don't like Mad Max. I want it to. I really do. I keep, even then, I'm trying to talk myself into it. I'm like, why? The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, or Saw 3?
Saw 3.
Saw 3. That was the one with the pig grinder, right?
Sure.
Yeah. That one, I think, was the last one I watched. And I enjoyed that one.
Love Saw movies. Quite intrigued with Chris Rock's idea for Saw.
Oh, have you heard? What is it?
I don't know. I'm just intrigued at what he's... The fact... I guess I'm more intrigued that Chris Rock said, I want to make a Saw movie.
Danny McBride knocked it out of the park with Halloween. Can't talk right now.
He got a single.
I enjoyed it.
I liked it, but...
I did not care for it at all.
Really? Oh, I enjoyed it.
I liked it okay. Have you guys seen Cop Car?
No.
From the dude who directed Spider-Man?
Which Spider-Man?
The newest. Not the one, the first, not Far From Home, but the one, the Homecoming one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He got that from this movie, Cop Car and Clown. It's actually pretty decent, about two kids that run away from home, see an empty cop car, just jump in and start driving around. Huh. Turns out Kevin Bacon's the cop. He's also a serial killer, and he's burying a body while kids drive off. And
I might be watching this movie here really soon. That sounds awesome.
It's just intriguing. It's interesting. Huh. I don't want to call it a lot of fun, but it is what it is. I probably should have talked about it on the podcast earlier. Rush Hour, Jackass the movie.
Because my opinion of Rush Hour has dropped so much over the years, I would actually go Jackass.
I'd go Jackass easily.
I would too, and as much as I want to pretend like I'm above it, every time I see something with it, I'm like, this is really a lot funnier than I give it credit for.
It really is. I do enjoy them hurting themselves a lot.
I love dumb people getting hurt. I love it.
And I always enjoy impractical jokes on friends. You know, yeah. It's one thing when it's mean-spirited to a stranger. When it's mean-spirited to your friend, and then you remain friends afterwards.
Yeah, locking like your that. Friend with a snake is just funny to me. That is so funny to me.
Especially if you know they're going to do it back to you later on in some fashion.
Yeah.
The Girl Next Door or The Ring?
Girl Next Door.
It's The Ring, but I do enjoy The Girl Next Door enough. What the hell is this? Hot Fuzz or Hoxon? 1922? It looks scary as fuck.
The classic. That's next week's classic.
That's available. Let me look real quick.
I'm gonna go with Hot Fuzz though, because that's one of my all time. I love me the Blood and Cornetto trilogy. It's so good.
I am not a fan.
Really? Yeah. Like all of them are just that one.
I appreciate Shaun of the Dead. I don't ever need to see it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like Hot Fuzz better than Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. There are parts of Shaun of the Dead I like more, but I think as a whole, Hot Fuzz is I think my favorite of the three, just because they pretty much. They foreshadow the entire movie within the first, like, 15 minutes of it. And I don't know, I just, that's entertaining as hell to me.
Yeah.
Like, plus, those two together is just, like, perfection.
I did like the Alien movie they made together.
Oh, yeah, Paul?
Yeah, Paul's great.
I've been wanting to rewatch that recently, because people at least, like, at work and, like, I've been talking to lately, keep bringing that up, and it's been a minute.
I called it the Citizen Kane of nerd movies.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, this is the movie that, like that Star Wars fan movie, Fanboys.
Oh, yeah,
this,
yeah, yeah.
That's the movie. Paul is the movie they wanted to make.
Yeah. Yeah. When they walked into that bar, and there's just the cantina music playing, dude, that killed me. That just made the Star Wars nerd just, like,
but what's his name didn't
bit.
Direct it, did he?
No. No, I don't remember know. Who did
that
it.
Was, no, so. That was the same director, no.
So, all right, so Hot Fuzz or Goldfinger?
Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz, yeah.
Haxton's a documentary.
Oh.
It's a silent film. Well, hold on before we... Because okay. We do got a documentary, Bring the Soul.
All right.
Grave robbing, torture, possessed nuns, and a satanic Sabbath, Ben Christensen's legendary film uses a series of dramatic vignettes to expose a scientific hypothesis that witches of the Middle Ages suffered the same hysteria as the turn-of-the-century psychiatric patients. But the film itself is far from serious. Instead, it's witches brew of the scary, gross, and darkly humorous.
This was made in 1922.
1922, it's on available? Amazon, available.
It's in. That's the classic.
Haxan. That's what it's, how it's spelled. Haxan. Silent film, documentary apparently, but we're going to give it a shot. Sister Act, Road to Perdition.
Road to Perdition.
Yeah.
Sister Act. That's one of those Tom Hanks movies where I'm like, that's the dude in Big. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Negotiator.
The good one? The real one?
Yes.
Yes, that's the one.
The real one?
Real Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Definitely. Shrek Forever After, Star Trek 09.
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, I'll go Star Trek. The Nightmare Before Christmas, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Agreed.
Even though I talked up Lord of the Rings earlier.
Frozen, The Day After Tomorrow.
Frozen.
Yeah, Frozen.
Kind of the perfect
the same
two movies.
Movie?
Yeah.
Frozen as well. This is great. Lion King or Grindhouse? The cartoon, both Planet Terror and Death Proof.
I think for me, Death Proof is good enough to actually make me pick it.
If the trailers are involved, those fake trailers, I'm in. As a man who owns Hobo with a Shotgun, yeah. Grindhouse.
I like the trailers too. I'm going Grindhouse. Sorry, Lion King.
I love Lion King. I'm sorry, babe.
True Romance or Blade?
True Romance.
True Romance all
now,
the way.
Now, if it were Blade 2, I might have gone Blade 2.
I might I be with
Blade
you.
Two. Blade 2 is pretty good.
The Other Guys, Spider-Man 2002.
Spider-Man.
Whew, that's hard. Spider-Man.
Yeah, I do like The Other Guys. Oh, man. Wow, Rain Man's going to lose. Rain Man or American Pie?
It's American Pie.
Yeah.
By a lot for me.
Yep.
Sadly, that is for me, too. Wow, Paul or Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Stop listening to us, Apple. I'll go, is it Temple of Doom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take Temple of Doom.
Yeah, Temple of Doom.
I'll go Paul just because.
I love Paul.
Iron Man, Return of the King.
It's Iron Man.
Iron Man. Sorry, Lord of the Rings.
Iron Man beats the Academy Award winner. Captain America, the Winter Soldier, Apocalypto.
Oh, it's Captain America.
Yeah, Captain America all day.
Yeah, although I do like Apocalypto. Inside Out, Mickey and the Beanstalk.
I don't think you can
fuck that. I'm skipping that. Inside Out, Bean.
Inside Out.
Yeah.
I was about to say Inside Out or Salo. But... you seen Salo yet?
No.
Next time you come over.
Right. Oh Jesus!
And we're not. Don't say anything else.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus!
The other guy's Naked Gun 2.5.
The other guys.
Yeah, the other guys.
Agreed. Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Oh, it's Superman, Batman, Dawn of Justice. Yeah. Yeah. It's Batman and Superman all the way. Fuck Last Crusade.
I'll go with Batman v. Superman, but, like, I'm not watching it because it's good. I'm laughing my ass off the whole time.
Was that the one we liked?
Yeah. Yep, yep. Yeah. I remember vividly giving you a lot of shit for that one.
There's only one bad part, and that's when it says Martha.
The one bad part is when that movie started. That being said, I think I've watched that more than, like, most Marvel movies. I watch that movie often because it's so bad, and it's so good.
Disagree completely.
I legit enjoyed it.
Well, all power to you, boys. Like, I don't want to take that away from you.
Ben Affleck does no wrong. Return of the Jedi, Rambo Part 2.
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
That's Rambo every day, all day long. Rambo Part 2 is so much fun, it's not even funny.
Yeah, but teddy bears killing men.
Exactly.
That's the greatest thing.
You need Rambo in there to kill the teddy bears.
Be a fun fight. Rambo versus one of those, like, log traps. See who can win.
Rambo. He's, what, 72, making another movie?
Yeah.
Rambo Doesn't Die.
Oh, man.
Even putting that stupid horse song in it. Apocalypse Now, Gandhi.
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now.
I've never seen Gandhi. I'm just assuming it's boring.
It's really boring, yeah. I had it on Blu-ray for a while.
Jeepers Creepers, The Land That Time Forgot.
Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah, Jeepers Creepers.
Unforgiven, Shrek.
Unforgiven,
Shrek.
Unforgiven, sorry.
It's all good.
Made me laugh there for a second.
It's all good, man. I still stick to it.
Wow. Wow.
Hey, man.
Have you seen Unforgiven?
I have. But Forgiven doesn't have Smash Mouth in it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
What is happening right now?
Oh, yeah.
We're in some weird alternate universe.
Nah, man. I was born in 93. Oh, this is God. My universe.
Wow.
I love Shrek as much as the next guy.
All day, man. I love me some Shrek.
All right. That's the show.